Steve, I've told Joey I'd love to go over to Ireland and Scotland and over in that vicinity and visit a little bit and, go around and see some of the sites over in Europe. I've been across, the Pacific, but I've never been across the Atlantic Ocean. She's been across the Atlantic, hadn't been across the Pacific. So I would like to go over there, but my boss man went to Scotland, and they went over there to play golf. And he said it rained every day over there. He said, but them people act like it ain't raining, you know. He said, it's just normal every day for them. And I said, well, how'd you like it? He says, well, it would have been really nice if it had not been raining. So I don't know. I can all remember what time of year he went. But, that would be something else. But I imagine, you know, after being in a cloudy, overcast situation for a couple of weeks, and then you have bright sunlight, I'd be looking for my shades, too. We were talking about the weather. It's supposed to be about 56 tomorrow, and then Friday you go up to in 64, and then Saturday 61 with rain, and Sunday rain was 63, and then it drops back down into the 50s Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So from now through the 20th, we're going to have two relatively warm days, and then it's going down to the 50s and going to stay there.
Yeah, it kind of sounds similar. In fact, if your forecast is 55 for Iowa and we're forecast 58, we might actually be warmer than you tomorrow. Yeah, that's how it was. Kind of interesting. The flight over there was, we took off in the evening and it was dark the whole way pretty much till we got to Norway, and then we seen the sun, flew into the sunrise, and then could see the coast of Norway before the clouds covered it up, the perma clouds. And like I said, it was cloudy the whole time we were there. And just talked with the host who I stayed with when I was there, Tommy, talked with him a video chat thing today, and they've just been hovering in the around 20 degree mark. I don't think, it didn't seem to change much, and I don't think it changes much over there, temperature wise. You know, here in the Midwest, I mean, we can yo-yo, even down there, all over the U.S., there's not many places that stay very consistent. Maybe on the West Coast. But, you know, it's nothing to have 25-degree difference between a low and a high during the day. Some days it could be even more, you know. I don't think it changed probably 10 degrees over there in the course of a day. I'm pretty sure of that. It's just pretty much the same temps all the time. And, of course, they just get any little moisture coming by, and it just drops a little more and a little more. Not no big blizzards or anything like that piling up, you know. And anyhow, we were coming back, and we took off at noon, and so we basically, the whole flight back was sunshine. So we flew over Iceland. I looked down, I said, oh, there's Iceland. Boy, this kid's exercising his lungs. Hang on here, I gotta take care of this thing.
Steve, sounds like you got your hands full with Mr. Shepherd up there tonight. that's a good thing, though. I'm glad he's exercising his lungs.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a kid, other kids are bothering him or what, but he likes to holler. So I put another room between myself and him now. But, we flew over Iceland, and I got to see that. There was no clouds. I was like, aha, seen Iceland. Then we flew over Greenland, which wasn't very green, I can tell you that. There was a lot of white snow on the ground. I seen some clouds, and I seen the shadow of the clouds on the ground, on the snow. And then I actually did see some dirt. And I believe some structures, some buildings from up there, 5 miles up or whatever you are in an airplane. So I was like, ha-ha, that's probably as close as I'll ever set foot to being in Greenland. So I took a fuzzy picture, which didn't turn out, but at least I know that's Greenland down there. And then the rest of it was just, I don't know, boring Canada and whatnot. Actually, it was all cloudy, couldn't see nothing, but that was kind of, I thought it was kind of fun to see. How you seen Greenland?
Steve, that would be kind of neat to say you had at least seen Greenland. I've not seen any of those over there. Like I said, I've been all over the Pacific, but I never got across the Atlantic. I've got to visit, and I've visited Alaska, Australia, New Zealand, American Samoa, Fiji, other islands, and things of that nature. But never got across the Atlantic. I always wanted to get across the Atlantic, but hadn't been able to do that yet. And who knows? That may be one of my things on my bucket list that I try to do before I'm not here anymore.
You know, a couple years back, two summers back, I went to, not last summer, but the summer before, I went to Oshkosh, Wisconsin for the Oshkosh Air Show. Well, the reason I went to the air show is because I was fooling around online, and I bought some tickets to ride in a B-17 bomber. And I said, oh, well, since I clicked go on this business, I guess I should probably go to where the thing's going to be at, which was in Oshkosh. So I paid about $535 to fly on that B-17 bomber. I don't regret it, but it was about a half-hour flight, and I covered maybe 20 miles, maybe a bit more. Let's say 40 miles. Thing doesn't go that slow. So, $535. That's kind of a high dollar per mile rate, you know. I took and I bought tickets to Finland and back, and I figured that's 12,000 miles I put on in the air between the four flights. And I paid $505. I don't know, that's a whole lot better deal of dollars per mile. I think it's probably about a little under 5 cents a mile.
Steve, you were flying in newer aircraft and jet engines and all that instead of a B-17. B-17 is not designed to take a whole lot of passengers. I've been in one. I haven't flown in one, but I did fly in a P-2V Neptune. If you research the patrol aircraft, they had the P-2V Neptune, which was had two piston pounder engines, and then they put a couple of jet engines under it to help assist it a little bit. But then I flew in the P-3 Orion, and now they've got the P-8 Poseidons. And but that was all military flights and military aircraft, and I enjoyed it, had a good time, but gosh, I don't know. I might pay that to fly in a B-17, but you definitely got your money's worth on the commercial flight to Finland.
Yeah, you got a seat there. You know, it's a whole lot quieter, and they even fed you. And yeah, maybe a little bit more cramped. I could walk around a bit better on the B-17, but I don't think I would have wanted to fly 12,000 miles on that thing. Your hearing would be shot, and you'd probably be frozen stiff. But, yeah, I don't regret either flight. It's just I was thinking about that cost of that, you know. I don't know. I ain't got much else to say here. I'm just kind of plugging along, working down there in Brookings, plumbing up a five-plex townhome bit. And, yeah, it's just kind of doing that. And, yeah, that's about it there, Gary. I guess with that, we'll turn it back to you. KF4DOS and that, KB0KBJ.
All righty, Steve. Well, you and Miss Megan have a wonderful evening and a wonderful week, what's left of it. Tell all the children we said hello and get in there and take care of little Shepherd. Well, he's a, I'm sure he's a, I say I'm sure he may not be hollow, may not be exercising his lungs now, but he probably is. He wants his daddy, so you know, you go in there and take care of him. But enjoyed it, Steve. Always do. Thanks for the info on the flight and how much per mile it cost. One other thing about the B-17, I don't believe the B-17 would be very comfortable if it could make it up to about 30,000-35,000 feet where you were flying in a commercial aircraft. And it would be cold, no doubt, because they don't have any heaters in those things. Or they used to not. They may have now. I don't know. They may have upgraded them. Anyway, you take care, Steve. Enjoyed it. Tell everybody we said hello. And I hope to get to see you one of these days soon. 7-3, my friend, we'll talk at you a little bit later. Do we have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS.
KI4DOS. Okay. Please check in N4NLR, November 4, nothing like radio. Please check me now. Good evening to you and everybody on the net.
4DOS and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. I'd like to say good evening to N4NLR, Mr. Jim, out there or over there in Greenville. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Mr. Jim. Hope you are doing well. Next up on the Rag 2 list is Mr. Ken, KA2AXQ, over there in Pickens. Ken, what have you and the missus been up to?
KA2AXQ here. Just taking care of the grandchildren. Got one that's sick. And, you know, we're trying to nurse him back to health. He eats and he pukes. He eats and he pukes. And, you know, we've had him to the doctor and they've done some testing. We're just waiting results on that. But, Possum Kingdom. That's not a strange name when you consider Frogmore, South Carolina, and Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. But Frogmore, South Carolina, that's a really weird town because it's on Fripp Island, and all the homes have the windows painted green. That's to keep the evil spirits out. And I think it's more to keep the evil spirits in, to be honest with you, because that is supposedly the voodoo capital of the world. And that's, like I say, that's a really, really strange place. Over.
Well, Ken, I will have to say that is one place in the state that I have not been. I'll have to look that up and maybe go down there just to check it out one of these days. And I have been to New Orleans and some other places in Louisiana and Alabama that I thought was the voodoo capital of the world, to be honest with you. so I don't know, but I'm going to have to check that one out. Just see what it's like. But, yeah, there's quite a number of places like that. That reminds me, I was driving a truck, and I was down around Jacksonville, and before I got to Jacksonville, down around Savannah. And this guy was, got on the CB radio, and he was hollering, wanting to know where Beach Island was down in Georgia. I told him, I said, it's up there next to Augusta. And he said, oh, no, it's on the coast. I told him, I said, you best get your Randy McNally out and learn how to read it, because Beach Island, Georgia, is up there next to Augusta. And he argued with me on the radio, and I finally told him, I said, well, if you don't want to listen, you keep riding around wasting your gas. But, you know, there are some strange names, right?
Affirmative. And that's like 96, South Carolina. Do you know where that is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to go through 96 on a regular basis.
It's named for being 96 miles from Columbia. And I don't know how they knew that back during the Revolutionary War. But Star Fort was in the town of 96.
We don't really think about it a whole lot, but they did have surveyors. They had surveyors long before the Civil War, and I'm sure somebody got out there and was walking along with their horse or donkey or mule or whatever they had, and was doing some surveying, and they probably measured it.
Speaking of surveyors, back during, Lewis and Clark, during that era, the surveyors came through South Carolina and up around Long Creek, South Carolina. You can actually see where they have carved the GPS location of that particular spot in the mountain long ago, and it's been verified that that's the correct GPS location. Over.
Sometimes I don't think we actually realize how long people have been around. And I was playing on the computer, and I found some old photographs of early photos of the United States, and got to looking at what some of the places look like. You know, for an example, Wall Street up there in New York. To see what it looked like then and what it looks like now. But the only thing they've changed is they put a little pavement down and put a lot more vehicles and a lot more people on it.
Talking about pictures, did you see any pictures of Echo Valley back in the early days?
I haven't seen any of those.
There was a whole, amusement park right there in Echo Valley with ski lifts that went up in the mountains. And I don't think they had any winter skiing. They just had a ski lift ride and big roller coaster and all that stuff up through there.
Going up there and riding some of the rides and that sort of thing. That's like Ghost Mountain up there in, where is that at? That's up there. It's in North Carolina. But anyway, it's a mile high ghost town. I think it's still up there, but it's closed as an amusement type park or place to go. But I think the actual buildings and things are still standing.
But if it's in Maggie Valley, North Carolina, and they got closed down after one of the, they used to have the cowboy shootouts up there. that somebody hit a live round and it hit his mark, killed one of the actors, and they got shut down for that reason. Over.
I know the reason that they got shut down, but I think that would do it. You know, when you play acting with guns and ammunition like that, if don't make your co-partner mad over there on the other side, because make them mad, and then all of a sudden they're supposed to be shooting blanks, and they come out with live rounds. That would not be good. That would kind of spoil your whole day.
Tragedy that really didn't need to happen, but it did. And the thing of it is, at the beginning of their little show, everybody walked out into the middle of the street, and they had one man that had all the ammunition that they were supposed to shoot. Supposedly, he gave out blank rounds to everybody, and that's where the big indecision come from, was where did the bullet come from? Over.
It's, ain't no telling where it came from, or wherever it did come from, they probably won't ever be publicized as to where the round actually came from. But there was another one, another shooting like that on a film site that was it was on the computer and on the news. Alex Baldwin, I think was his name, got charged with shooting somebody because they were supposed to be using blanks, and this was a Western as well. And hell, I don't know. I guess things like that could happen, but they shouldn't happen. People should be familiar enough with their weapons and what the rounds look like. They should be able to tell the difference between a live round and a blank.
Well, I've reloaded some brass and shotgun shells over the years, and you can replace some powder with a lead slug and put a blank face on the end of the round and actually shoot a live round from from a shell that is loaded looking like a blank. Over.
Well, yeah, Ken, you know, you have to go back to the old adage, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
That's affirmative. And when the FBI knocks on your front door, deny everything. That's about all I can say about that. But is it possible that at the end of the net, you could call me on the telephone for about 5 minutes?
Oh my gosh, I just remembered. I was supposed to call you last week, wasn't I?
Last week ain't over, yes.
But we'll chalk that one up to a senior moment, Ken, but I'll call you after the net.
Good. So until then, I'll say 73 to you, and thanks for taking the net. K-8-2-8-2, back to net control.
And will you take care over there? Take care of those grandchildren that are not feeling well. I hope all of those get better long before Christmas so they can enjoy their Christmas and what Santa Claus is going to bring them. But I'll give you a call here on the phone in just a few minutes, and we'll continue the conversation. But in the meantime, you take care. Have a great evening and a wonderful weekend, rest of the week and weekend, and we'll talk at you a little bit later. 73, my friend. Do we have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. That's about to wrap it up. If I missed anyone for comments, or is there anyone else that would like to make a comment, call KI4DOS. I'm going to wrap it up. I'll submit my net report, and then we'll close the net out. Folks, had a grand total of 63 tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you out there in radio land. Y'all come back again tomorrow night. And Mr. Matt, WG4MC, is going to be calling, to the best of my knowledge, and give him a good dose of rider's crap. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. With our thanks for all those folks checked in with us, we will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS, clear.